Thank you, guys. Let's just say thank you to the worship team. They've done a great job. Thank you, guys. One of the big realities of our Christmas celebration is light. And the reason why light is a big part of Christmas is because Jesus Christ is the unmistakable light. Jesus Christ is the unmistakable light. Now, I like lights at Christmas. I like lots of lights at Christmas. And we got lots of lights even at Fellowship of the Rockies today at Christmas time. And I was reading an article that said the average American spends $64 a year on Christmas lights, okay? So you calculate that out. That's $20 billion annually on just Christmas lights. That's some serious light spending, right? All right. So I started thinking, how much do we spend operating these lights? All right. So I have a picture of my house here. This is my house and these lights. I mean, it's just it's nothing crazy. And you can see there's some lights in the trees and on the inside. That's probably about $100-ish to burn these lights at Christmas time. Okay. Now, if I was going to decorate my house like my hero, Clark Griswold, this house, you remember this house, right? Yeah, that would be $1,600 just in electrical costs at Christmas. That's crazy, okay? And I think that was nuts. And then somebody told me about this house in El Paso, Texas. Let's play the video of that. Guys, that guy literally has money to burn, right? I mean, that's crazy. How much is that? So I didn't know this, but I showed the video, and it turns out that some people who go to the 8th Street campus, they lived in El Paso, and they lived right around the corner from that guy. And apparently, Christmas lights in El Paso, Texas, are a really big deal, and there are several places like that. So electricity must be a whole lot cheaper in El Paso or something. I don't know. Anyway, all right. Let's just be honest. Most of our Christmas lights have nothing to do with Jesus Christ. You could take away all of the Christmas lights. You take away all the fancy lights at Fellowship of the Rockies. And we can still celebrate Christmas, and we can still celebrate light if we keep Christ in Christmas, because Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Let me read you a passage of scripture. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Guys, the birth of Jesus Christ, the incarnation, God becoming man, right, was announced by a great celestial light. You know, there are even historical documents outside of the scripture that talk about there was this this phenomenal celestial light. And just like today, most of the people didn't recognize that light was connected to the birth of God, to God becoming a man. They didn't get it. It was just another unexplained phenomenon. But there was one man, and the man's name was Simeon. And God had given Simeon a promise that he was going to get to see the Messiah before he died. And so when the celestial light appears in the sky, Simeon connected it with the Messiah. And Luke chapter 2 tells us this. Simeon took him. I'm sorry. One more piece of the story. Joseph and Mary had taken Jesus to the temple to dedicate their child. And the Holy Spirit had prompted Simeon to go to the temple so he could see the Messiah. Okay, this, so that means Simeon took him, Jesus, in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." What did Simeon say? Simeon said, Jesus Christ, this child that he was holding in his arms, he was the light for the world. Not just for the Jews, but for all nations. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. One more little piece about light in Christmas. I really love what John, the apostle, the writer of the fourth book of the New Testament, John's gospel, right? I love what he does with the Christmas story, okay? John takes a different look at many of the stories about Jesus Christ. And so John starts with the Christmas story, Jesus coming to earth. And you know what? In John's version, there are no shepherds, wise men, or even angels. In John's version of the Christmas story, there's not even Joseph, Mary, and the baby Jesus. But John doesn't miss the fact that there was light. John says this about the Christmas story and about Jesus Christ coming to earth. He says in verse number 4, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Guys, what we know about Jesus Christ is that Jesus Christ, light and life go hand in hand. With Jesus Christ, light and life go hand in hand. Talk about life for just a second before we come back to light again in a little bit, okay? What was the life of Jesus Christ? What was Jesus Christ's life all about? Well, Jesus Christ was about life in a totally different form and fashion than the world had ever known. You know, Jesus Christ would have made some of the most ridiculous statements ever stated publicly if he wasn't the perfect example of those statements. Okay, hang with me here, okay? Jesus Christ said these things that were just so countercultural, so unbelievable, but then he turned around and he lived those perfectly, so we know, hey, there's really something to this craziness that this guy is talking about. Talk about leadership. You know, Jesus Christ taught on and talked about leadership quite often. And Jesus Christ understood that leadership then, as it is today, in the world's perspective, is sort of about climbing to the top of the ladder and then having others down below you that serve you so you can accomplish, you can do really well what it is that you do, right? That's sort of the world's view of leadership. Jesus said, no, that's not my view of leadership, and that's not the correct view of leadership. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 20, in Matthew 20, verse 26, to his disciples, and we're his disciples, right? He says, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus said the key to greatness in leadership is not serving, is not having others serve you, but it's in you serving others. I have a friend of mine who's a pastor, and on his desk, facing outward so that everyone sits at his desk, sees this sign, and on the sign, the plaque on his desk, it's this: if you ain't the lead dog, the view never changes. And that's sort of the view of leadership. But Jesus said, no, you're the one who should feed the dogs. That's leadership. Washing those dogs. That's the key to greatness. Paul would bring clarity to the words of Christ in our lives. And when he talked to the church in Philippi in Philippians chapter 2, in verse 5, he says this: in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Okay, what was the mindset of Christ? To serve others, to help others accomplish whatever it is that God wanted them to accomplish. We're to help others rise to the top. It's to give our lives, right? That's the purpose of leadership. That's the purpose of becoming great. You know, at Fellowship of the Rockies, we say life change best happens as you connect, you commit, and you serve. Why? Because when we serve, we are being like Jesus Christ, okay? All right, so let's go back to the scripture. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Jesus is saying here to all of us that true leadership is exampled in sacrifice, and he was the example of sacrifice, right? So not yesterday, but a week ago yesterday, I was at home, and I caught the last 10 minutes of College Game Day. And if you don't know what College Game Day is, it's an ESPN show. They do it in Saturday mornings in football season, in college football season, and they talk about the games on, and that the games are on that day, and they go to a different location where there's a big game. And last week they were in Pennsylvania for the Army Navy game. All right, it was a big deal. I mean, that's a big deal every year, and so they do a big thing on this. And they were talking about the Army Navy game, and one of the commentators, and I can't remember who it was, but they made this statement that was really pretty cool. He said, "The thing that makes the Army Navy game or any service academy game unique from any other football game is this: the players on the field are willing to die for the fans watching in the stands." By the way, go Army, right? 1996, first Commander-in-Chief trophy. Good job, guys. All right, so, but Jesus wasn't just willing to die for us. He did die. And he died so that we might have life. We would have life eternal. We would have everlasting life through his service, through his sacrifice, through his death. You know, if you're here today and you have not received the life of Jesus Christ, I can't think of a better day in which to receive the life of Jesus Christ than on the day we talk about Jesus Christ being the light of the world. And so I'm just going to ask everyone to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a second. And if you would just be honest with yourself and with me and with God and say, you know what, I have never trusted him as my Savior. I have never asked him into my heart. Then today is the day that you can do that. And if you want to do that, it's real simple. All you have to do is ask for it. And the way you ask for it is just say a prayer. And so if you want to receive the life of life eternal that comes from Jesus Christ, then simply silently from your heart to his ears, pray this prayer. Dear God, I know I've messed up. I've sinned. And I believe that Jesus Christ's death is enough to pay for my sins. God, as best as I know how, I invite you into my life. I receive eternal life from you now. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. All right, so look at me for just a second. If you prayed that prayer, if you invited Christ into your life, that's not the end, it's just the beginning. God has a wonderful eternal plan that begins right now. And he wants to help you. He wants to do things in your life to help you grow in your relationship with him. And you'll get, you need a church. You need people to help you in that journey. And we want to be that place for you. So on the welcome card that's in your bulletin, you tear it off. There's a spot there. It says, I'm trusting Christ. If you fill it out, Darren or somebody from the church is going to contact you and help you in your journey with him. All right, so now, guys, we've talked about light. And everything's a bit about light. And what we haven't done is we haven't talked about darkness yet. And that's purposeful. I'm not a big darkness preacher. Now, I'm not the guy who goes around and is constantly pointing out the sins in the world and the problems and the dark things in the world, because sometimes I think when we do that, we give it credit. And we have to understand, I understand, that just as there is light, there is also darkness. I mean, there are two realities. There is light, but yet there is darkness. And so what do we do with the darkness? What did Jesus do with darkness? Well, Jesus dispels darkness. Little sidetrack here. A few weeks ago, I was having one of these silly heaven conversations with someone. And what's a silly heavenly conversation? Silly heavenly conversations happen when we take the things here on earth that we like and we automatically teleport them or transport them into heaven. And we say, just because we like something here on earth, surely it's going to be there in heaven and it's going to be really good all the time. And I said something offhand. I can't even remember what I was talking about. And I said, I can't wait till I get to heaven because I'm going to do this. And then the person I was talking to, and the reason I can't remember what I said is because of what happened in the next sentence. The person said, well, you can do that, but I'm going to be outside sitting in the sun. And I just looked at them and I said, no, you're not. And they said, what do you mean I'm not? I said, well, there's no sun in heaven. And they said, well, I'm not going then. And I said, wait, just hang on a second. And so now I get myself into this preacher conversation, and I pull out my phone, and I'm getting my YouVersion app, and I'm trying to find, I knew it was in Revelation, and I said to them, and I said, I get to Revelation 21, 23, it says this, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. Guys, Jesus is such a powerful, unimaginable, unexplainable light that in eternity, in the heavenly reality, we just get rid of suns. We don't need any more stars. Because Jesus is better than the sun. And they looked at me and said, okay, well, I guess I'll go to heaven then. I said, that was a close one, right? But that's in heaven. Jesus is in heaven. No need for sons. He's the light, right? But what about here on earth when there is this reality of darkness? What takes care of the darkness here? You know what? It's still Jesus. But since he's there, he dispels the darkness through you and me. We actually have the opportunity to be the light of Jesus Christ in the reality, in the darkness reality here on earth. Jesus says this in John 8:12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus says that when we are in relationship with him, we have his light. What light? The no need for sun type of light. The better than the sun type of light. We have that light living within us, so we have the opportunity to be that light. You know, Jenna, in our Christmas devotional, she talked about that. We kicked off Christmas devotional season with Jenna's devotional and talks about how we are the light of the world. Jesus said in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. The question is, what type of light are you going to be? What type of light are you going to be? So I brought me some lights. Okay, let's do the go dark thing. Okay, all right. So you have the opportunity. You could be the phone flashlight light. And I mean, I'm not joking. I use this thing all the time. This is maybe the best use of a cell phone ever, right? And man, when it's dark, that's a good thing, okay? You could be the phone flashlight type of light, or you could be a little bit brighter light, right? I mean, we could see even more with this type of light, right? Or you could be, this is like one of these different lights, you could be the on and off light. You know, shine one moment, and then don't shine. Just on and off for Jesus. Or you can be right? I got a feeling that in your heart, this is the type of light you want to be. I got a feeling that this is more representative of the light of Jesus Christ in a dark world than the phone or the blinking light. Let me pray for us. God, man, God, Hollywood could not have come up with a story with so many amazing images like the Christmas story has contained in it. God, only you could have all of these beautiful, wonderful, eternal, powerful images attached to one story like you did with the Christmas story and Jesus Christ coming to earth. So God, thank you for that. And today, as we have looked at the image of light, the image that Jesus Christ is the light, and you have asked us to be the light of Jesus Christ right here on this earth. God, I pray that we would shine brightly, that your light would shine brightly through us as we continue to celebrate this Christmas season and into 2018 and into 2019 and 2030 and 2100 until Jesus Christ comes back, God, we would shine as bright lights for you. And I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, light of the world.